Exodus chapter 33, and we will begin our reading. Verse 9, let's look in verse 9 of Exodus 33, verse 9. And we'll read to verse 18 together. Let's stand, shall we? We read the scriptures. Scripture says in verse 9, "It came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, Moses speaking back to the Lord, he said, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Our Father, please direct our thoughts into thy word as we look at it. Teach us this morning through thy Holy Spirit. And we pray that your word would go forth with power and impact each of our lives this morning. We pray for thy help. Flow through us your power, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A.W. Tozer said this, What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our mind when we think about God? Even young people, you that are here, and teenagers, and all the way up to the eldest that is here in the room, we each, sad to say, maybe have a different view of God in our life. God wants us to understand Him according to His Word. And what happens in many people's lives is our thinking of who God is shaped by upbringings. It can be shaped by circumstances in our life. It can be shaped by mishappenings in our life that maybe are undesirable. And sad to say, many are their ways of thinking of God are shaped by happenings in their life. I've dealt with them before, maybe you have, but even with atheists and even agnostics, most of the time, because if they have a certain way of thinking in that, it's usually because something has happened in their life that has caused that way of thinking to make them think differently. If there is a God, they don't even believe in God because of something that has happened in their life. We just talked to a gentleman out yesterday. We were out soul winning in at Suburban in Indianapolis and with their group, and we knocked on the door, and a young man came to the door, and of course, he just one of those individuals that you kind of look at as singled out and tattoos all over him and just spent his life, as he said, in sin and doing everything under the sun. And talking with him, the thing that he couldn't get past was why all the things happened in the world. The murders and the things that happened to people and children, all these things that are horrific in our world. And he can't unput God in the midst of all of that. He can't make sense of that. That's a lot of people today. It's a lot of people. And I want to say this as well to you and I that are saved, and we know Christ is our Savior, and I don't want to put everybody in that category because God knows the heart of every person here this morning. And usually if statistics hold true, even just a group this size, could be one in here in this room that does not know Christ as Savior and has never personally put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. You may be holding on to things. You may be trusting in something else as your salvation. And sometimes it was a fearful thing to confront even people in pastoring, and you've been under them years. And when you come down to that one thing, maybe through discipleship or just talking to them one-on-one, and you truly come down to that point where you say, how do you know you're saved? Do you know Christ personally? Do you know if you died today, would you be in heaven? Some of the things they come up with is downright scary. Scary. Do you know Christ? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if you're here this morning, you know Christ is your Savior. I want to remind you of this. When God's mission becomes your mission, there is nothing He cannot do through you. When God's mission becomes your mission. When we think about missions, this is Missions Month here. When you think about missions, I think our number one mistake with it is we don't understand God. I think if we truly understood God more, not only would more people be going to the mission field, but I think more people would be giving their life completely and wholly and just laying it all out for Jesus Christ. If we understood God, truly who the God of the Bible, not what the God that the world portrays and the media portrays and TV portrays and Hollywood. Forget all of that. Let's get back to the Bible, what God says about Himself. And we look at a situation here today with Moses. Here is a man that was on a journey, not of salvation, but just learning who God was. And as you come to know Christ as your Savior, you begin a journey of learning this God who's not just the God of heaven, but He is now your Father. Your Father who loves you, cares for you. He's gracious. He's merciful. He is good. He is generous. He is all these things and more. And understanding Him, having the fear of Him in your life, understanding this God, what He's capable of doing, this is the journey we're on. And the more you learn of Him, the more I truly believe your life will be devoted to His cause and what He wants to do through your life. Look at Moses. And the thing that stands out to me here, and as we look at verse of chapter 33, and just the verses we read, here's a man that has went through a great deal of struggles, not only coming to the place of surrender, seeing this fire in a bush and this of God that came to him and spoke to him, and it was holy ground and that call of God, and then Moses stammering around why he can't go, I can't speak, and this and that, and God becoming angry with him, and that whole back and forth until Moses finally surrendered it and, all right, I'll go, and Aaron came, and then they went to Egypt, and everything they went through in Egypt and the people, and then leaving Egypt, the Red Sea, and after the Red Sea, dealing with the people, and now coming up to this point, on the mount for 40 days and 40 nights, coming down off the mount, Israel was in disarray, the people were in disarray, become discontent, Aaron had thrown all the gold in the fire, and as Aaron said, out came this calf. Moses, you should have saw it, was pretty cool. It was an illusion. And thinking of all these things that came up, and then God judging the people, wanting to completely rid and decimate the people, but Moses interceding for them. And now coming to this point here, what I see in Moses and in this passage is a man that is still moving forward. There was nothing, I truly believe with Moses, there was nothing that God could have ever done, good, or maybe to us we think bad, that would have ever deterred him from following the God that he knew. Here he is in this moment. What is he asking for? Two things he asks. He says it in verse 13. Show me now thy way. Show me. Show me your way, God. I want to know your way. Remember, his ways aren't our ways, are they? They're not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And then he says in verse 18, look, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. God, I want more. I need more. I need something greater. Moses came to that point. What happens to many in their life? Tragedy takes place. Trials come. Testings come. Let me tell you, they can be severe in life. Health can hit you like you can run into a wall with health, and God put us through that in our own life. There can be family situations that are so confusing, and children and parenting and kids, home, job, finances. Boy, life can hit hard sometimes. And what will determine how you'll come out of that, whether you will be refined, whether you'll be a choice vessel of God that he can use in a greater way to the fullest and for him as a vessel of honor, not a vessel of dishonor, is how you will view God. What are you going to think of him? Are you going to say, I want more of him. I need more of him. I want to see his glory in my life. I want to know his way in my life. I want God. Listen, here we are. We've come through all of this pandemic stuff and all that we've been through as a church and as a people of God and trying to move forward, wanting to move forward, maybe in your own life, maybe you went through a death in the family, maybe you went through some struggles, but listen, is your desire in your heart this morning, I want more. I want more of God. I want to learn more of him. I believe there's three things that I'm going to give them quickly to you. Number one, we see, first of all, the promises of God. The promises of God. I want to see his promises in my life. Understand this. There are promises that God has given to us that nothing will ever change those. Okay? Those are set in stone. I'm glad I have eternal life today. Nothing will ever change that. Okay? Heaven's my home. Nothing will ever change that. I have the promise of eternal life. And there are those promises that God gave that it's just set. But then there are also promises that are provisional in the Word of God. He did it over and over. Israel, if you do this, then I'll do this for you. If you do this, then I'll do this. There are those promises in Scripture. I love it all the way even in the New Testament with Philippians. We find in Philippians chapter 4, Paul writing back to Philippi regarding the giving and receiving, communicating through missions. He was using a church in Thessalonica. He was using Philippi. He was using Epaphroditus to deliver the goods to Paul. And Paul said this. He said, it's not that I just desire a gift from you and I want something from you. But I desire fruit to your account, that through your giving and receiving to missions and to me and the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ that can be accomplished by you helping someone get it done is fruit to your account. And God blesses your life. Then we find the verse which we all love to use, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe that, but I believe that verse is fulfilled through the obedience of God's people. You can't rob from God all your life, and then when trouble comes, you say, God, help me. You say you provide all my needs. No, where have you been obedient to him? Have you been obedient in your tithe? Have you been obedient in your giving? Have you been obedient in your missions giving? And if you can truly come to God in prayer and say, God, I have done all that. I've been obedient to you. Fulfill your word in my life. Let me tell you something. God will show up in your life. There's no doubt about that. God works. There's the promises of God, and I believe Moses understood that. He knew those promises. Notice he reminds God, not to remind God that he'd forgotten, but he brings them back to the God you said in verse 13. Look what it says. I want to find grace you consider this nation thy people, and that the world would know who the God of Israel is through your people. And you said you would make your name. And he brings all that back to God. And God reminds him again over and over. He says, Moses, my presence will go with you. My presence will go with you. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. And you have found grace. You have found grace in my sight. That's the promises of God. Secondly, we have the presence of God. Oh, I'm so thankful for God's presence. He never leaves. He never forsakes. Now, with Moses, I'm thankful. I don't have to pray. God, I'm not going to go unless your presence goes with me. I know his presence goes with me. The wonderful thing about that, we have something different than that in the Old Testament. We have the presence of God every single second of our life. As a child of God, we have a Holy Spirit living with us. His presence is here. His presence is, you walk out the door, you get in the car, you go home. He never leaves. He's there. He's always there. But it's that awareness I believe we've lost in our life. And if you find yourself getting cold in your life, and not picking up the scriptures like you should, not spending time in prayer, not doing the things of the work of God in church, and realize the importance of the local church, and if that takes place in your life, you've lost an awareness of God in your life. You lost that awareness of his presence. Because when you understand his presence, I believe the Bible teaches there's a fear of God that comes over us. Knowing he's there, his promises. Know this, God is always at work in your life. God's always at work. I love the scripture when God told Israel, and he reminded Moses of this, reminded, I will go before you. I'm glad we have a God that goes before us. He's here now, he's in my past, he's in my present, but he's also in my future. He goes before me. Amen. We had the privilege of sitting down with on a phone call with a young man. You saw him in the video. He was there for his one-year anniversary in Nicaragua. And just like I say, he's 23 now, just got married last year. And we've supported him over the years. And we were able to talk to him. And I knew I communicated with him just text. But a few weeks ago, his church was broken into. And he lives in the church. That's where they live. And they went out for a little, have dinner with one of their members. And while they were gone, they came, broke the door down, and found the offering that they had hid. And they had it saved for their anniversary Sunday coming up. And they took that, took a computer, took some microphones, took 40-some chairs from the church. And that's devastating for them, because it took him 3 years to build up all of that. And it's a lot of money. And he was discouraged, and his wife was discouraged, and we were trying to encourage them through that. But what we were so grateful we were able to tell them, and that God had used the church in Florida, and God had burned our hearts to try to help some of these men out, because they have no transportation. They have these churches and people, and they have to take a bus to visit. They just walk to visit, and they just can't go from where they need to go. And so we were burned to try to get some of these pastors some motorcycles. I use coffee to I sent out an email earlier in the fall to some of our on our mailing list. I thought, hey, if you'd like to help out with this, here's the need. Took some pictures, showed them what we were trying to get for them, and I didn't hear anything. I'll do something. So I'll just roast some more coffee. So I roasted coffee, bagged it, labeled it, and we're in Florida. I set it out. If anyone wants to buy a bag of coffee, the profits just go to help these men to get a motorcycle. And I sold 3 bags. That's all I had. Sold them, but that church, God burned their heart to buy a motorcycle for one of his pastors. On the way home, another church called me, and they wanted to help a pastor get one. But not only did they get him a motorcycle, we got him a car. So now he has a car to drive, he has 2 kids, and he can bring people to church. But back to Brother Stephen, just a young man and his wife, and we were able to call him on the phone and tell him, this church wants to buy you a motorcycle. And it was just exciting to see the joy on his face, how excited he was. But the thing that we were thrilled to be able to do, and I reminded him, listen, God is always working in your life. You may think things are taken from you, but you got a good God in heaven who loves you. And he is always at work when you don't even know it. You're going to have transportation. Look at what God's done for you. And look how much he loves you. We have a Father in heaven who loves us dearly. His promises, His presence, and then lastly, real quickly, and I'm done. In verse 18, He wanted to see His glory, and God did show up. And in verse 6, it says, when God passed by, saw that afterglow of God, and Moses saw it. Look what God showed Moses. He said, in verse 6, at the close of it, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. Listen, let God, when God's word, when God keeps His promises in your life, when you know His presence is in your life, when you know that, He becomes precious to you. And when He becomes precious to you and you understand He's gracious, He's merciful, you see Him working, you see Him evident in your life of what He's doing here and what He's doing here. And no, I could just go on and on of how good and gracious and generous and merciful. Do we have problems? Yes. But look to God who's able to see us through those things and to lead us through those things. And we understand He is precious to us. Is He precious to you? When His mission becomes your mission, there is nothing, nothing that He cannot do through you. And I wanted to get there, but don't have time. Please read and mark it down. Read Psalm 25. And if you read Psalm 25, a psalm of David, I don't know if you read through it, I cannot help but think as David wrote that, he was thinking of Exodus chapter 33 and 34. As you read through it, just tie it together when you go home. Read it. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Father, thank You for helping us here today. Thank You for Your word. Lord, may we move forward to know You in a greater way. As Paul said, that I may know Him. That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings. God, may the burning desire of our hearts be to know You, to learn of You, that as babes in Christ, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby and know that You are precious. God, help us. May Your mission become ours. In Christ's name, amen.